Hello, I am Pastor Andrew, and welcome to Lakeside at Home. Before we begin, I'll just make a couple of announcements. That's first, that you can find ways to pray for our community in our app on our prayer wall, so you can download that app in the links below. Also, that we are continuing in our series on Star Wars, and today we're talking about Empire Strikes Back. But there's a lot of things going on at the church. We have a third grade Bible presentation this week. We have lots of activities happening all the time. And so if you're interested in finding any of those things out, check out our website and you can see ways to get involved with the community. Our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 22, and I'm reading verses 47 through 53. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading him. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen. They said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck a servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple guard and elders who had come with him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have to come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, there are times in our life when it feels that darkness reigns. When we can't see a way forward, when fear grips our hearts. And yet you have walked in those very places where there was hopelessness. Your feet show us a path of hope. In your name we pray, amen. So this week we are talking about Empire Strikes Back, trying to use that movie as in a way of understanding some of what's going on in the gospel, and perhaps some new and refreshing ways. So Empire Strikes Back is called Episode 5, if you're part of the Star Wars world. They renamed them when they made the prequels, and so it's the fifth part in the story, but it's the second movie in the original trilogy, and that original trilogy is the one that we are stepping through right now. And it's a strange movie. We talked last week about A New Hope and the power of hope and the heroic journey. And in many ways, that whole journey that Luke Skywalker is on in the first movie concludes. It concludes with a medal scene, a seeming victory, a resounding defeat of the Empire. And yet this second movie begins. And while you might think that that victory is a little hollow, so the second movie begins on a frozen wasteland planet called Hoth, where they're in a secret rebel base. And here are a few of the things that begin in this, that are happening in the beginning of this movie, that let you know that despite the victory, there's a lot of things that are not wrapped up, loose ends, so to speak. So we're introduced to Han Solo, who has just had that turn towards being a hero in the last part of the last movie, but now he has to leave because he does have to pay the bounty on his head. So no matter if you're a hero or not, you still got problems, is sort of what it's saying at the very beginning there. Also, he's got this will they, won't they relationship with Leia, where she won't quite admit in the beginning of the movie her feelings for him and all these kinds of things. Also, Luke gets in trouble. He gets knocked off his tauntaun by a large creature there and put up in a cave. And when he's there, he's using the Force, but it's really hard for him. He's not yet a Jedi, so he's had this incredible heroic moment, and yet he's still far from what he needs to be in order to be able to ultimately defeat evil. And then we are shown that the Empire, still very powerful, is out searching for this band of rebels. You might have an idea of what that kind of time feels like. Maybe there's been a moment of hope in your life where you've thought, I can do this, I can conquer this, I can lose this weight, or I can do this work for this new job, or I can be this kind of different person, or I can stop this habit in my life, or I can change in this sort of way, or we can change as a people, we can accomplish these things, and you're hopeful. And then something happens. You might say reality sets in, or whatever it is, and all of a sudden that hope seems scarce, or fraught at the very least. Indeed, this is something that you see a lot with this. Like when you look at optimism, for example, a lot of studies show that young people are more optimistic in many ways than middle-aged people. Older people sometimes can also become very optimistic. But there's this wave of that, and it makes sense. Remember last week we talked about how hope and this idea of pathways, of being able to see different ways to go, is integrally linked, that big vision of hope versus that narrow vision of fear. Well, when you're younger, that big vision is very natural because you think you have all the time in the world and there's all this possibility. So if you're not doing it now, you can imagine how you can still do it. And in some ways, midlife crisis or whatever you want to call it is when people all of a sudden realize there isn't a whole lot of time. And fear shrinks their world and regret takes over. So we can see how optimism and hope, it's easier sort of on the onset of things and harder as things progress. And that's actually true that some of a time when people are in, when it's dangerous for people who are struggling with mental health is after a period of hope, when something might dash that hope. Hope dashed is some ways harder than no hope at all. And I think that's why many people over time become less hopeful, because of the pain of losing that hope. And Ted Lasso introduced me, it's a show on Apple TV, it introduced me to a phrase from, I guess, European football. It says, the hope that kills. It's the hope that kills. And if you've ever been a fan of a losing team, you understand exactly what that means, that you've psyched yourself up that this year is going to be different and this year is always the same. And so it's that hope over time that kills in some sense. Well, Jesus, in the scripture that we read on the outset, is in a time where, as the scripture says, he says, darkness reigns, where this reign of evil people in many ways, it seems to overshadow the hope that Jesus' mission had brought. So think about this, particularly from the point of view of one of his disciples. They've entered in Jerusalem. They are there with huge crowds and lots of hope. And Jesus' disciples are arguing about who's going to be what in this new kingdom that Jesus is going to inaugurate. And then he is betrayed. Jesus knows it's coming. He even describes himself as, you know, so distraught, it was making him sick. And so he's betrayed by Judas. This hope seemingly dashed. And of course, we know what comes after this, the crucifixion. What could dash more hope than that, right? So that's the trouble with hope. So what do you do when hope ends? You're cast to the curb. It's not easy. In fact, in Empire Strikes Back, you could summarize this movie as one where they are always reacting to the invasion of the rebels, running from the Empire. Luke goes to Dagobah, this place where he's going to be mentored by this figure, Yoda, who's the great Jedi master. And when he's there, he meets this person he totally didn't expect. And in many ways, Yoda is trying to instill a new hope in him by opening up his understanding. He tells him to unlearn those things that he's learned. He's trying to pull back the kind of ways that fear would narrow him in and tell him he has to do this or that and give him that wider, hope-filled perspective that we've talked about. He talks to Luke at length, trying to get him to understand a broader world that he's in. So he's continuing that mission of Obi-Wan, and yet, at a pivotal moment before his training is complete, Luke, in some sense, relapses to fear and decides he has to go help those his friends in Cloud City, which is where they have been captured by the evil Darth Vader. And they've only been captured because of a betrayal of an old friend. And the movie ends with Han Solo captured, hope in short supply, almost ambivalent at the chances that this hope-filled rebellion can ever overcome the Empire. But there's also something quite amazing about this movie, is that in many ways, this movie, this middle section of the story, this difficult section when hope seems in short supply, is when almost everything of importance happens in the trilogy. While, of course, the victory over the two Death Stars, one in the first movie and a second in the third movie, are incredibly important, the thing that transforms the character of Luke in particular to become the hero he needs to be, to help him understand all of the difficult choices that are going to be ahead of him and prepare him for all of that, all happens in the second movie. Famously, his scene on Dagobah with Yoda where he trains is in the movie very short. Now, Star Wars people will try to tell you that if you try to figure out how long they were on their way to Cloud City, it could have been 6 months, it could have been a couple of years, other people say, but in any event, he has this shortened training there where he learns a lot about what it is to trust in something larger than him. When one pivotal scene, he just doesn't believe that he can do it. He doesn't believe he has the agency, that he's enough to do something. So he's trying to lift his X-Wing, which is his own starship, out of the swamp by the use of the Force, and he can't do it. And he doesn't believe anyone can do it. That's fear talking, shrinking it in. And Yoda shows him, by doing it himself, expands his possibilities. But when you expand those possibilities, you have to confront fear. And so on Dagobah, Luke has to confront his own fear that he would fall to the dark side. The most pivotal moment of that confrontation of fear, though, comes later in the movie, where Luke is fighting Darth Vader in their first really big lightsaber combat. And Darth Vader's not really trying to destroy him at this point, because his hope is to create a situation where Luke loses all hope and turns to the dark side, turns to fear. And at this pivotal moment, he reveals, and I'm just gonna say spoiler alert, but it's been 40 years or so, that he is Luke's father. And by doing that, reveals to us that this is not just a conflict between this evil man and Luke, that there is something deeper going on here, this connection between the two. For Luke to overcome Vader, he's going to have to overcome something very powerful, very deep within him. And you may have had that type of experience as well. When you've realized all of a sudden that what it takes for you to get from here to there is not a tweak, that what it might take for you to overcome some things in your life is going to be fundamental. You might be looking at your own relationships with figures like fathers and mothers and all those kinds of things, but you would see this fundamental thing here. And that reveals the power of this period when darkness reigns, where we have to deal with the fundamental things, the things that are really holding us back. Of course, in the life of Jesus, this is the period of the crucifixion. And I want to tell you, we don't deal with this well in a lot of Christian circles, because we don't know what to do with it. Sometimes we talk about how the incredible, wondrous love of Jesus, and that's an incredibly important part, that he would do this for us. But I sometimes think that we don't quite really understand that we had to deal with our sinful nature. We can't sort of skip our way into the kingdom of God. We're going to have to be different than we are. We can't let the fear run our hearts. We can't let the subtle ways that we're trying to position ourselves over other people run our hearts. We can't be anything but love first people. And in order for that to happen, big changes need to happen within us. There's a cleaning out of the soul, the process of the Holy Spirit at work within us. We have to deal with sin. We can't just pretend it's not there. We can't just say, I have found that there is this mountaintop that I can go to and I can see where God wants me to be, and then I'm magically there. No, we have to deal with that process. And in Christian theology, we call this sanctification, this process of being made more holy, being refined, being changed. And that when we are changed, it's often through struggle. Neither me or you typically change unless we are pushed. So it is struggle that pushes us, grows us, changes us into what we need to be. And so what I think we can see from this story is it's an essential part of the story. You can't go from Star Wars to Return of the Jedi. You have to have Empire Strikes Back. You have to have the growth, the scared, the fear. The fear has to be conquered. The fear has to be looked into. The fear has to be known for what it truly is and saying, you are not running my life. In order for us to pass this by or to get to the next place. You may be in a time in your life where you feel like darkness reigns. Maybe not in a huge way, maybe just in small ways, or maybe in a big way, but you feel that feeling of hopelessness. And you have a choice. You can see this as just what the reality is always going to be, or you can look at this as part of a journey. A time when we are called to grow in deeper ways, to find deeper hope than the hope we might casually find when we're not confronting the dark things in our hearts. Because it is when we find that deep hope found through struggle, that we can grow to be the kind of people that God has called us to be people who know that no matter kind of what is happening, God still reigns. And so that's what I want to leave you with today. That choice in struggle, to see it as the end of the story, or as a chapter in the unfolding hope that lies within you, the hope of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the benediction. The light of God surrounds you, the love of God enfolds you, the power of God protects you, and the presence of God is with you. For wherever you are, God is. Amen.